The second message, back to the basics. Remember, we have three: knowing God, walking with God, serving God. I'm going to remind you of our rules. Listen to Jesus, no comparing, and be an encourager and receive encouragement. Walking with God, and we're going to go to the same verse. I'm going to read the verse to us. Actually, we can all read it together, and then I'm going to pray for us. Let's say it together. John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Father, thanks so much for this morning. Thanks again for these friends and the chance to be together and the chance to be hearing from your word today and from your spirit. Thanks for your work in Rick's life. Thanks that you broke through the barriers in his life. And thanks that you want to break through the barriers in all of our lives and our friends' lives and our family members' lives. And we pray right now, Lord, would you do that? Would you break through barriers? And Lord, some of us, we've been trying to do that, but we pray that you would. And we believe that you can do what we cannot do. And Lord, thanks that Rick sells real estate. I pray you'd bless him in that. Thanks that he's walking with you and fulfilling his purpose in life through helping other people have places to live for themselves and for their families. And thank you that he's also giving his life away to other people. And we just pray, all of us pray for Rick. Would you bless him in his work and his family and in his ministry? And we pray that you'd bless us and give us ears to hear what you want us to hear now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a light bulb. Yep. If we had driven here, which when we were getting ready to get on the plane, I thought, I wish we were driving. This is the perfect time of year to drive through Kansas. And incidentally, just so you know, we live in Colorado Springs. When people drive out, say, how was the drive? It was great. Oh, we hated Kansas. I'm a Kansas defender, okay? I said, Kansas is beautiful. How can you not appreciate that? You can see the vistas. You can watch three thunderstorms at the same time. It's just amazing. And it's I just love it. I love that you can see. It's just beautiful to me. I love the colors, the textures. Kansas is a beautiful state. If I had driven, I could have brought a box of light bulbs. And I could have passed out light bulbs to all of you. Let's pretend like I did, and you all have a light bulb. And I say, here's your light bulb. And I say, do something with it. Do something with your light bulb. Now, some of you would get very creative with your light bulb. You may tie it to your scarf and wear it. And it's a scarf light bulb. Some of you could ask for two and put little hooks on them. And you could wear your light bulbs, your light bulb earrings. Some of you might decide that it would be your lucky light bulb and you'd put it in your purse. Some of you could say, this is my pet. So you could crinkle it up, take the glass, glue it on a piece of paper, and it could be your light bulb art. Some of you could just go bury it because you didn't want anyone to see it. Some of you might try to make it grow. This is my light bulb plant. And water it and fertilize it. And trust me, nothing would happen. You know what? You could do 1,000 things with your light bulb or more. But a light bulb was made for one purpose. One purpose. To be plugged into a power source and to give light. Do you know what? It's the same with a life. You could do 1,000 things with your life, or 100,000 things with your life, but you were made for a purpose. You were made to know God. You were made to know Him. You were made to have a relationship with God. Now, when you go back to Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, if you kind of put it all together and say, why are humans, Why are humans on the earth? I don't have a slide for this, so I'm just going to talk about it. Well, humans are on the earth to rule the earth, to bring order to creation, to make more humans who can bring order to creation, more people in the image of God, spiritually, physically, and to walk with God in the garden. That's what Adam and Eve were doing. They were bringing order to creation. At some point, they began reproducing themselves, and they were walking with God in the garden. Humans were made to do this. Sons of Adam, daughters of Eve, were made to have a relationship with God, walk with Him in the garden, and to bring order to the earth. You know, I love telling my student friends when I have the chance to travel around and share with them and some of our 20s friends. You know, if you're a committed Christian, sometimes you can think, well, I really want to be committed to Christ. And you know how it is? What do the most committed Christians do after they leave, they graduate? What do the really, truly committed people do? They do EdgeCore, right? Right? Because you're really committed to Jesus, you do EdgeCore, right? Which is our internship program. And then if you're really, really committed to Jesus, after that, what do you do? Well, you have some options. You could become, engaged as a navigator staff. You could, go to seminary. Oh, yeah. I'm committed. I'm going to seminary. And then if you're really, really committed, what do? You become a pastor. Yeah. Or a pastor's wife. Maybe you become a navigator. But no. If you're really, really committed, then what do? Missionary. Overseas. Yes, the committed people go overseas. But if you're a committed missionary, where do you go? This is a little clue. The 1040 window. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm talking about. Right? None of the Scandinavia junk. I am right. It's hot and sweaty. That's me. Right? Right? Do you know what's sad? Is people actually believe that. I want to let you know it's not true. You do not measure a relationship with Christ or commitment to Christ based on your career. You measure commitment to Christ based on obedience to Him, based on walking with Him. So, Rick, I love that you shared with us. Rick, who gives people places to live. Now, you make money doing it, which is right, but that's what you do. You help match opportunity with need. He's bringing order to creation. Engineers. They said, we're going to build, let's say a civil engineer, where, says to the ground, come up ore and sand and iron. And they make iron. They have someone make iron. You can tell I'm an engineer. And at some point they put it on and say, be a bridge. Just like God. They make it. They take this stuff, shape it, there's a bridge. How wonderful. How awesome that we have engineers, men and women, designed by God to bring order to creation, and they make bridges. And you know what? If God has called you to something like that, rejoice in it. It's a noble, noble thing. And please make a good bridge, because I might drive on it. I'd like it to last. We could say the same thing about being a farmer, the same thing about being a dentist, a doctor, any number of things. Wow. Your commitment to Christ and your relationship with God is not determined by your career. The real estate broker can have a deep and intimate relationship with Christ and change the world, his world around him especially, by doing this. The same with the secretary, with the administrator, with the professor. Every one of you can do this. Isn't this wonderful news? This deserves another sigh of relief. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. I do want to say that if you're doing Edge Core, I'm glad. Okay? John, I'm glad. Okay? But, John, we don't love you just because of that. You do what God calls you to do. And in the body, what we're supposed to do is cheer each other on for doing what the Lord calls us to do. And there's no pecking order. All of us can know Christ. All of us can walk with Christ. So I'm going to apologize right now to the Wichita State guys because they heard this last night, so you guys can leave. John, this is your third time hearing this. Do you want to come tell this story? Do you? No? You want me to? Okay. So I actually came to Christ when I was 17. My dad was in the Air Force. We were living in Madrid, Spain, downtown. I actually walked out to a field on the Air Force base one night, laid down in the field, looked up at the stars, and I just started thinking about stars, which made me think about the bigness of the universe, which made me think about forever and eternity. And you know how that is sometimes? And it's like, whoa, whoa. And I'm laying down flat on my back, looking up. And I remember thinking, I wonder if those stars are there on purpose or if they're there by accident. Just a question that kind of floated through my brain. I remember deciding, boy, if they're on accident, then like nothing matters. And like everything's an accident. I'm an accident. This earth is an accident. Everything's an accident. And that means nothing matters. So just go do whatever you want because everything is irrelevant. It's just hopeless, really. But if it's on purpose, if all of that has purpose, maybe this earth has purpose. And maybe I have purpose. Honestly, I can hardly believe I was having these thoughts as a 17-year-old, but I was. And it helps me take my 16 and 17 and 18-year-old friends seriously, by the way. So I looked up at those stars and I thought, you know what? I believe in God. I think there's a God. Now, I grew up in a home that sometimes would go to church, but we had a rule in our house. One of our rules was, don't talk about God. That's for Sunday. That's for church. And I remember I would have some questions and I'd be told, we don't talk about God here. You talk about that at church. So I grew up with that. Now, they weren't being mean about it. It's just the way they were. And that night, though, I decided I believed in God. A few nights later, I did something I was very ashamed of. At an Air Force base, there's this party with free alcohol, and it's Europe, so there's no drinking age, and I just kept drinking and drinking and drinking. Like Kool-Aid, I'll have another one of those. Before I knew it, I was completely, utterly wasted. My sister told me later I was doing somersaults and twirly bouts in my underwear. Not one of my finer moments in life. And that made me desperate. So one night I decide I believe in God. 3 mornings later, I'm totally ashamed. I can't be like, oh my gosh, where can I go die? So I was aware of my need. And then a few nights later, I decided I'm going to read my Bible. So I found my Bible, dusted it off, and I started reading in Matthew. Now, I had been someone who had decided to read the Bible before. And I'd read it, and I'd, like, fall asleep. It was like my, oh, I can't sleep, read the Bible. I'm not proud of that either, but that's the way it was for me. But that night, I think the Holy Spirit was there. He was there before, but this time I was connecting with him. I was wanting truth, wanting him. And I read Matthew, and every word was like alive to me. And when I got to Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. We looked at earlier today. That's what I want to do. So I thought, I'm going to tell God this. So I was going to talk to God, really, maybe for the first time in my life. So I thought, if I'm going to talk to God, I better kneel. So I got down on my knees. I said, God, I want to seek you first in my life. I just want to seek you and your kingdom. And I think you'll take care of me. Amen. And then I sat on my bed again, and I had this thought. that I kind of thought I'd never had before. And the thought was like, you don't think if he's going to let you find him. All you said is you're going to seek him. He won't let you find him. I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? I decided to keep reading the Bible. And it was interesting because then 8 verses later, I read this. Jesus speaks and says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. I thought, okay, well, Jesus said, if I seek, I'm going to find. So I got back down on my knees and I said, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for saying that if I seek, I'll find, and I believe it. Amen. That was it. I sat back on my bed and I thought, you know, I think I'm a Christian. I think I've become a Christian. Now, and that night, you know, I think I did. I didn't pray a special prayer. I didn't have a little booklet. No one drew a diagram out for me. But I gave me to him. And he took me. And I'm so glad. And then I thought, well, I'm a Christian. What should I do? I know, I should wear a cross. That's what Christians do. Christians wear crosses. So I thought, dang, I'm going to be a committed Christian. I'm going to get a big cross. So I did. I got a big beaded cross right there, baby. I tell you, well, it was like this big right here. And then I wear it to school. So my friends see me with a cross. And they go, oh, Mike, you're wearing a cross. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Wow. And I was a senior. And I'm wearing a cross. So they did the reasonable thing. They asked me to be the leader. It's reasonable, isn't it? He's wearing a cross, after all. Now, it wasn't quite that fast. It took a couple weeks before they asked me to do that. It wasn't really good for me, though, you know, because I thought, oh, if you're the leader, you should pretend to have the answers. I didn't even know the questions. But I became afraid of asking the questions, and that's when I started learning how to be a hypocrite. And I started learning how to just kind of fit in. And kind of, I just looked for cues from the Christian culture. And I didn't know anything, but I made friends with some Baptist people and some charismatic people and some other people. And they all had their little things, and I didn't know what to do. So I'd be with these people, they'd raise their hands. I think I'm supposed to raise my hand. Raise my hand, and these people were all like this. I think I'm supposed to put my hands in my pockets. So I put my hands, I was looking to other people for markers. Well, fast forward, I graduated from high school, backpacked around Europe instead of starting college, then started college. But I remember while I was backpacking on the back of a train in Germany, I said, Lord, help me. Help me, please. Help me, please, be a real Christian. Now, I was a Christian. I was saved by the blood of the Lamb. But I was floundering. I started it. Illinois accepted me as a resident. I hadn't been in the U.S. for 6 years. I went to Illinois State. And I was looking for someone to help me. I joined a black gospel choir because they were committed. I thought, these people are committed. And they taught me how to. And I got that down. And it was fun. But then I realized that the group of Christians were praying here. And not everyone was a Christian. In fact, some of them were even black Muslims. I thought, this probably isn't going to work for me. Because I really want to be around people who follow Jesus. Well, a few nights later, the guys on my floor asked me to go out drinking with them. And I kind of wanted to. I went into the bathroom to brush my teeth. And as I'm brushing my teeth, I said, God, why did you forsake me? Why did you forsake me? You know I'm going to go out drinking tonight with those guys. And then I'm going to do stuff I'm not proud of. And then everything's going to change. And I asked you to help me, to send me someone. And right then, the bathroom door opens. And this tall, skinny guy walks in. Without a shirt, wearing this little cross. It says, Jesus is my Lord. I go over and I say, oh, you're wearing a cross. I still had this cross thing. He says, yeah. And that was enough. That was enough. I said, okay, it's a sign. So I went to bed, didn't go out partying, found those guys in the morning, had breakfast with. It was Dick and his roommate Larry. And in the course of breakfast, I found out that Dick had become a Christian 7 weeks earlier. And Larry had helped him come to know Christ with his friend Barry. And they let me hang out with each other, with them. And they were navigators. And then I met their friend Carrie. And it's true, there was Larry, and there was Barry, and there was Carrie. There was also Gary and Jerry. So, what happens? I'm just hanging out with them a little bit. That's when I went to my first navigator meeting. And I sat behind this pretty girl. And I told my friends, actually, I told them, I said, "Wow, she's really hot." They told me that I should not say that. It was a navigator meeting. I was pretty sharp, though. I said, "I didn't mean that. I meant, she's really godly." They liked that. They said, "That's okay. You can think that." Okay. So she's hot and godly. But I didn't say that. So, and she still is. Woo. Yeah. So Carrie comes up to me once, and he says, "Mike, would you like to have a quiet time together?" And I thought, odd that he'd be asking me to have a quiet time with him. I had tried having a quiet time my senior year of high school. I'd heard about it in one of those little groups, someone talked about quiet time, and I knew what it was. Well, it's not that complicated. You go sit quietly for a time. So that's what I did. I went and I sat quietly for a time. I waited for God to do something. I was being very quiet even. I had my best quietness. Nothing happened, so I decided it didn't work for me. But then I thought, okay, I'll give God another chance. And I had another time of being quiet. And it didn't work. So when Carrie said, "Would you like to have a quiet time for me?" I literally think he's asking me, would I like to go sit quietly with him? And I think, this would be very strange. Have two guys sitting quiet together. And I thought, that's probably what I'm missing. Two of you are supposed to be quiet. Then it happens. So I said, okay, yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot. He said, "Great, Larry's going to come too." Whoa, this was very interesting. Two guys being quiet together, I could get, but three of us sitting quietly with each other? I don't know. And Larry always made me laugh, so I didn't know. I'm an extrovert. I don't think I can be quiet that long. But I'll try it. Okay. Okay, so when? And then he said, 6:30 in the morning, I'll come by your room. Are you kidding me? Okay. When? Like tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow. Okay. So he came by, knocks on the door. I'm ready. I walk out, shut the door, and he says, "Mike, where's your Bible?" I turn around, I thought, oh, Lord, why didn't I think about that? Of course, the Bible has something to do with this. I walk down there and go, Bible, Bible, Bible. Oh, I missed it, that there'd be a thing called quiet time and the Bible would have something to do with it. I had no idea. We went downstairs to Lincoln Center, under the cafeteria. Carrie says, "Well, let me pray." And he prayed. And you know what? He talked like a man talking to God. I don't know if I'd ever really prayed out loud before, because I thought if you did, like, you should practice. And you should use religious words. Probably long words would be best. Probably put in a few righteousness forever in there. And probably you should pray with a little bit of a British accent. Because that's what they did on TV when there was someone who was like God or Jesus or someone. And it made me not want to pray, to have a British accent and use a lot of religious words. I couldn't do that. And then Carrie just talked to God. I thought, wow, it's like he's here. You know, he was here. And then we read, he said, "Let's read this psalm." Larry read it, and Carrie read some, and I read some. And I said, let's all pick a verse that stands out to us. And I was conscious of not needing to be a hypocrite then, because do you know what? There was a verse that stood out to me. Oh, I like verse 7. He said, "Now let's all of us pick one thing that we'll do because of what we read." And Larry shared what he'd do, and Carrie shared, and then I had something I would do. Wow. And I wasn't faking it. I wasn't trying to sound religious. It was like, this is something that this Bible says that I want to do today. And then we all prayed. And then we walked up to breakfast, 15 minutes start to finish. Larry and Carrie walked in front of me, and I told the guys last night and the ladies, I said, you know what? They walked to breakfast. I floated to breakfast. I was so excited. I had met with the living God. I just needed someone to show me how to do it. It was so awesome. Other men put their arm around my shoulder and said, walk this way, Mike. And God was answering my prayer. I tell you what, since then, I've become a quiet time addict. Almost 40 years. And I don't apologize for it. Those guys kept helping me. They taught me how to share my faith. Taught me a lot of things. They taught me the basics of growing in the Christian life, the basics of being a Christ follower. What a treat that was for me to learn from them. You know what? Over time, this is what I learned. I learned how to have quiet times. I learned how to hear the word and read the word. You know this, the word hand. And study the word and memorize it and meditate on it. I learned about Christ being the center of my life. And that he was the center in two ways. He was the center because of what he did for me on the cross, and that he declared me holy and righteous. And I chose to make him the center of my life as he became my Lord. I learned about the word, the wheel here. Some of you have heard of the wheel. Word, the importance of the word and prayer and witnessing and fellowship. I learned about journaling. I'd never heard about that before. And I started writing prayers. And I learned about having a day alone with God. I started out like with 2 hours, I think, and it felt like forever. Just forever. How could this? And I told the guys that I prayed for everybody I know in the world. And I did. And it took me 2 hours. I learned about man to man and follow up and helping new believers grow and having a small group. And I learned about how to pray for the nations and going to church and being a good member of a church and learned about giving and service. And I learned about silence, which is kind of interesting because now I see that sometimes just being quiet is good. But it didn't make sense to me as a 19-year-old. And I've learned about fasting, even though you can't tell. And I've learned about waiting. All these things, the basics, and there's probably others. There's probably others. But do you know what can happen sometimes? Sometimes this list and whatever you might add to your list, it can become a spiritual do list. It can become heavy. And you could start measuring your success as a follower of Christ, which is rather a ridiculous phrase. Success as a follower of Christ. You can start measuring yourself based on how many of these you can check off on a day or a week or a month. And sometimes the thing that was meant for good can become not very helpful. Does it make sense what I'm saying? The basics. I love this picture right here, that poor little donkey. You know, he's all low. They just kept putting stuff on that cart. And then the cart threw him up. Imagine he's thinking, what are you doing? You know, that poor animal can't go anywhere. He can't even flail. He's just stuck because he's so burdened down. This is a toolbox. You know, the basics for you, the basics of the Christian life, they can be a burden to you, or they can be tools in your toolbox. And you know what I pray and hope for you and for me? That they would be tools, not burdens. Tools, not burdens. You know, keep the main thing the main thing. It's walking with God. So I wonder, what helps you? What helps you walk with God? What hinders you? Do you know, there was a season where I realized that I had written in my journal like for every day for 4 years. And I realized slowly that my goal was to write my journal, have a quiet time and write my journal. And it's like it became a law to me. And I kind of use the word rules. You know, I'm kind of joking about that, right? I mean, they're important, but we don't really need rules. I had to choose to not... To not write in my journal because I wanted to focus on Jesus, not writing in my journal. Does that make sense? And you know how you can get into a good habit and be so committed to it that the habit becomes the focus instead of the Savior being the focus? This is what I'm talking about. Keep the main thing the main thing. This is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Your main thing, the basic of all basics, is that God has called you to walk with him. And you do what helps you walk with him. I remember I used to tell people, well, you know, the most important thing in life is to have a quiet time every day. And then my friend Bob Walls, who's with the Navs up in Nebraska, he would tell people, well, any navigator worth his salt does serious Bible study all the time. That's what really carries you through. And my friend Larry Glabe said, any navigator worth his salt does scripture memory 2 a week, review them all, get them all reviewed every month. Well, I realized my friends, they're hearing this, study the Bible really hard, have a quiet time every day, review all your verses all the time, which is easy when you've got 60. What about like me when you got a couple thousand? It gets a bit more challenging. Now, if I was like Jim Truax, I would be doing it faithfully all the time. But I'm kind of keeping my core 200. I'm focusing on those, and the other ones were a blessing, but I'm not as smart as him. It's just the way it is. I want to know God. I want to walk with him. And I can't do what everyone else does as their best thing to the level they do it at. And neither can you. And you can't pretend like you do. What's going to help you walk with God? Do that. And if you're made a commitment to a group of friends, we're going to do this, then you do that. But whatever you do, make sure it helps you walk with God. Don't do it just so you can check off a Christian or navigator do list. Do it to help you walk with God. Don't let the basics become a burden. Instead, use them as tools in your toolbox. Now, if you don't know anything about memorizing scripture, I urge you to take this class, Memorize the Word. If you've never had a quiet time with someone, one of your friends here will ask you to. And if no one does, say, I don't know, I still don't get having a quiet time. Would you have a quiet time with me? And if someone asks you that, this is what you say, yes. Okay? Yes, I will. And then you meet with them, and you have, and don't make it a three-hour thing. I remember I was trying to help this young man have quiet times once, and we'd get breakfast, and then we'd chat about football, and we'd chat about this, and then we'd have a quiet time. And he told me a month later, I don't have time to have quiet times. I said, what do you mean? Well, he thought that whole thing was a quiet time, from breakfast and basketball or football and this and this and this. So I learned my lesson the hard way. From then on, listen, buddy, I've got 20 minutes to be with you, and we're having a quiet time for 20 minutes, then I'm out of here. I want to know, this is what a quiet time is, right there. Don't let them burden you, these basics. Use them as tools in your toolbox to help you get to know the living God. So let me ask you this. In your life, these basics that you practice right now, what's helping you? And I wonder, is anything hindering you? Is there something you're not doing you should add and start doing? Is there something you've been doing that maybe you should take a break from? Because it's become more important than the one you're trying to know. Maybe. What's helping you? What's hurting you? Again, you're probably going to have this memorized by the end of today. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. This is the main thing. I love this verse. Hear this now. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Make sure that it's about this in your relationship with him. Father, would you help us to use the tools of the basics to help us walk with you. We don't want to be burdened by them. We don't want to stop something just because it's hard. But we don't want anything on the altar of our lives besides you. We don't want to engage in any spiritual discipline or practice that gets in the way of you. We only want to do things that help us know you. And Lord, sometimes it's our heart that needs to change. So if our hearts need to change on something, would you change it? And sometimes our routine needs to shift up a little. And if that's what needs to happen, would you help us with that? Father, thank you. Help us to be hearing from you. In Jesus' name, amen.